This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got a good-looking sky today, but breaks of sun, a high temperature of 36. It's pretty chilly and a bit of snow along the lakefront tonight.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets sure are falling. Let's see how low and get an update on Wall Street from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the Dow sinking 400 points or 1.5%, and it's narrowly above 25,000 right now. NASDAQ down more than 2.5% or 189 points. The S&P also lower by 1.5%, 41 points down. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index losing 1.25%. Concerns about sales of iPhones have sparked a sell-off in stock in Apple. That is taking a toll on all three of the main averages. Apple shares down more than 3.5%, and that is a $33 billion loss to the company's market value just in today's trading. Facebook is sinking more than 5% today. All tech companies are expecting to face growing regulation in the wake of privacy breaches. Trade worries once again front and center. Vice President Mike Pence attacked China at a weekend summit. That doesn't bode well ahead of the Group of 20 meetings that start next week. And the U.S. housing market could be running out of steam. Home builder confidence dropped this month by the most since 2014, as the highest borrowing costs in 8 years restrained demand. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, as Elisa suggested, the FANG stocks are taking it pretty hard today. We're going to examine that. And we're also learning that the economy is great for part of the Chicago area.
How the jobs picture here in Chicago is going to affect the race for mayor. And it is Stock Picker Monday. An investing pro will join us to give you a couple of pieces of advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, the retail industry has high expectations for holiday sales. Let's get a preview in our next segment. Right now, the Thanksgiving shortened week is going to include earnings from several key retailers, plus a cartload of economic efforts. We're welcoming Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. And Tom, we're going to be getting all these reports. And at the same time, looking over my shoulder, I see the Dow Industrials are down by 437 points. So we have a lot on our plate this week.
That we do. And an appropriate metaphor here, certainly for Thanksgiving week. There is a lot to chew on for these markets. And today, what's leaving a bitter taste for investors is this drop in confidence for home builders down to a two-year low, the biggest drop in 4 years. And I don't think you have to, you know, be an economist or, frankly, a professional trader to understand why. Interest rates are rising. The Federal Reserve has been slow and steady on its interest rates, and finally things are starting to heat up in terms of the cost of cash in the housing market. We're at 5% now for Freddie Mac average 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Now, for longtime homeowners or real estate folks, 5% still sounds like cheap money. But remember where we're coming from here, right? You know, you could borrow money to buy a home at 3%, 3.5% for the better part of a decade. Here we are at 5%, the highest fixed rate to buy a home for 30 years in almost 8 years. So that's going to make housing a lot more expensive for some first-time buyers, and that has home builders nervous.
And if the Fed does not act on interest rates, what could happen?
Boy, that would be big news, because I think everybody's expecting the Fed to act on interest rates, certainly when it comes to December. And it has been particularly clear in what it is looking at in order to make its decision regarding interest rates. And that is obviously the employment market, full employment, and inflation. And inflation has been tame. So the Federal Reserve right now sees no reason. It's not going to look at a 400-point drop in the Dow or a 1,000-point drop in the Dow or a 20% drop in Apple share prices or Amazon share prices, all of which we've seen. I don't think that's going to dissuade the Federal Reserve from continuing to hike interest rates slowly but surely in December, and probably signal to the market what its anticipation is for 2019 as well.
Now, you mentioned some of the reasons for the home builder sentiment. What's the impact? If new home construction begins to slow, what kind of an impact does that have on the wider economy?
Well, the other thing that we're seeing in home building here, Cisco, is the cost of materials going up. That has subsided as well. Lumber prices have tumbled considerably. We know there's been a tight labor market in construction. I can tell you here in South Florida, labor has been extremely tight when it comes to construction. That's something that we hear from across the country in the construction markets. The wash through, of course, is on consumer confidence, most notably, which is that kind of ethereal, intangible piece of the economy. But it also gets down to the confidence of shoppers and the ability or the willingness of buyers to part with their money in the months ahead, or the weeks ahead, really, as we're here in this all-important holiday shopping season for retailers.
Now, you touched on the interest rate issue and that the Fed has certainly been raising rates. Just talk about the challenge that the Fed has, because if they don't raise rates, then they're in trouble next time they need to do something. On the other hand, psychologically at least, people don't like the fact that we're now in a rising rate environment.
No, not at all, right? I mean, I'm sure you guys doing this day in and day out for the market, fight the Fed, don't fight the Fed. Is that a phrase that's coming up more regularly, perhaps?
Pretty much every day, yes.
Yeah, and the market's losing that fight, right? I mean, the Fed's going to win that one. There's no doubt about it. And so I think the needle that the Federal Reserve here is threading and has been successful thus far is trying to return the cost of borrowing into a more normalized area so that the Federal Reserve, you know, the next time the economy begins to slip in real terms, has some wherewithal to be able to lower the cost of cash to try to goose the economy going here. That's where it has been trying to get to long term, but it keeps seeing these brush fires over the last decade or so. But this Federal Reserve has been disciplined. The trade talk issues hasn't dissuaded it from raising interest rates. Concerns about the tight labor market hasn't dissuaded it from rising interest rates. The concerns about higher wage growth has not dissuaded it from rising interest rates. And again, we're still talking about a relatively low level of interest rate. But boy, after a decade plus of record low numbers, anything is going to feel like it's really high, even though in historical context, it's not.
Thanks for joining us today, Tom. Tom Hudson is Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. And coming up, the holiday shopping season kicks off Friday.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The relatively early date for Thanksgiving means holiday shoppers will hit the ground running even sooner than some other years. Let's get a preview of Black Friday and retail's biggest season. Joining us on the International Auto Zorlin Park business line, Dana Telsey, CEO and Chief Research Officer at Telsey Advisory Group in New York. Dana, Black Friday in general, we've been hearing for years that the internet is really going to have an impact on this because people can shop anytime. People can have big specials and sales at any time. Is it having an impact, or is Black Friday still a big deal to retailers?
I think overall, Black Friday starts earlier and earlier, and it's been extended. Consumers have more ability to shop whenever they want to shop, whether it's from stores or whether it's from online. We have an on-demand consumer now, and retailers and brands are responding to that. It is still a big day. It's still a big weekend, but it doesn't have the surge and sense of urgency that it did in prior years.
Are we still seeing some of, speaking of sense of urgency, it was always if you want a TV at a certain deal or some sort of video game system, there was always those teasers that would get people to wait in line on Black Friday. Are we still seeing that as a way that retailers are trying to attract people?
You are, but now these deals are available today or even tomorrow, or some were available this weekend. There may be an extra shift if you buy now and then spend a little bit more on the weekend. So I think it's more creative. And yes, you'll still see the deals. You'll still see the crowds because the experience of Black Friday and that weekend is still there. The deals, though, are available for a longer period of time and for more time during the holiday season than they were in the past.
I went in to buy something over the weekend and then was told that it was going to be half off. So that started for me on Sunday.
That's what I mean. Christmas starts earlier, and this year we have an extra shopping day, that given that Christmas is on a Tuesday. So the deals are extended and the timeline's extended. Consumers have more time to procrastinate, not only because of the extra day, because online's available to them also.
Is there any must-have this year?
I think apparel is the must-have this year. We've seen bigger increases out of apparel than we've seen in years past. It's not activewear or, it's activewear and, combined with the fact that you're still seeing technology being strong also. But I think whether it's TVs, whether it's drones, whether it's smartphones, or whether it's apparel, the consumers have money to spend, and retailers are giving them innovative products to want to spend. And don't forget, look what just launched on Saturday, the Kylie line at Ulta stores.
Has the demise of Toys R Us impacted other retailers searching for those toy dollars?
You're seeing more retailers increase the amount of square footage and the space that they're allocating to the toy category. Whether it's Kohl's, whether it's Target, whether it's Walmart, whether it's even JCPenney, we're seeing everyone go after that business, and it's a big business to get.
Always nice to talk with you, Dana. Have a nice holiday. Dana Telsey is CEO and Chief Research Officer at Telsey Advisory Group in New York. And up next, a check on the markets from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Markets sure are struggling. Let's find out how they're doing. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco. We are deep in the red now. The Dow falling 451 points. We are below 25,000. And the Nasdaq is down almost 3% on the day. The composite tumbling 208 points. The S&P 500 down 1.75%. That is a loss of 48 points. And the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is also in the red, down almost 1.5%. Apple CEO Tim Cook warns that the tech industry faces new regulations. Cook told the TV show Axios on HBO that the free market isn't working, and it's inevitable that Congress and the administration will pass something. So Apple's dealing with that, as well as it's reportedly cut production orders for the three recent iPhone models it unveiled. So that from the Wall Street Journal. Apple stock down almost 4%, Facebook shares sinking almost 6%. So the FANG stocks are really under pressure today. Not much of a move up for crude oil futures today, up just about a quarter to $56.60 a barrel. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grains down, led by soybeans today. Lack of any talk with China making any progress there in trade talks. So we have beans for January down 20.25 at 872. December corn's down 3 at 361.75 on its low. December wheat's down 10.25, 496.5, half off its low. But the no trade with China and no talk with China pushing beans lower. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are sharply lower. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll have some suggestions from investment pros.
Job growth in Chicago will be a much-discussed issue in the race for mayor.
Long line of candidates waits for hours in the cold to file nominating petitions for the city's February election.
A Colorado man is sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for killing his pregnant wife and their two young daughters.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow down 440 points, the Nasdaq off 205, the S&P 500 down by 47.
29 degrees in Chicagoland, heading to a high of 36. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun throughout the day. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, stocks are starting the week on a sour note. We are joined by John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services and registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates in Buffalo Grove. Thanks for joining us, John. What do you see when you look at the markets this afternoon?
Well, Chris and Cisco, how about a little bear for Thanksgiving? We actually have the market in a stealth bear position right now. In the S&P 500, 190 of the stocks are actually in bear territory, down 20%. And we got the technicals weak and the market still, many of the stocks somewhat overvalued. So that makes it vulnerable to negative news, such as in the housing market, the home builder sentiment, disappointment over Apple's iPhone X sales, the ongoing Facebook saga, the trade tensions with China, and maybe even a little moderating in the Federal Reserve's language at this point in time. So the market is set up for disappointment and for some selling, and we could have more before this is over.
A lot of people tend to confuse a bear market with a market that, you know, is washing out. You can be a bear market and come back.
Oh, yes. And right now we're just in correction territory, technically speaking. Bear markets are when the market's down more than 20%. You want to be out before the bear is there, because by the time you're down 20%, it may be time to buy. But in correction territory, all you need is a 10% decline to technically be in that correction territory. And actually, the stock market usually puts in a 10% correction on average about once a year. So this is actually normal. This is not unusual. What has been unusual is that for the last 10 years, we've only had three corrections. So we're overdue. The fact that we have a couple this year should not be troubling.
Now, dollar cost averaging is something that we hear a lot. Is that something to remind people of, that there's actually some benefit to having these occasional dips?
There is. In fact, dollar cost averaging is a great way to invest money, especially in these corrections. That's investing a fixed dollar amount regularly. I like monthly. Monthly works very well. Every time the market drops, you're going to buy more shares because the price is cheaper. When the price is higher, you're automatically going to buy less shares. So that works out very well. I would accelerate the dollar cost averaging strategy as the market turns into a bear market, should that happen this time. But dollar cost averaging is by far the best way to handle this type of market, especially where we are in overvalued territory.
Yeah, and talk about that a little more. That was actually my next question about the valuation of some of these stocks. Did we have a bunch of them that were maybe too expensive, and that's causing some of the problems here lately?
It really is. And the market can remain expensive for quite a long time, and then all of a sudden the right number of triggers hit, and it just cascades the selling. So by traditional measures, price to sales, price to book, price to earnings, dividend yield, even the Buffett indicator, which looks at market cap to GDP, another thing called Tobin's Q. These are all in overvalued territory, and some are a little more pricey than others. So the market makes the market vulnerable to this. Add on top of that the technicals, where we look at the chart and identify levels where the market wants to pull to. We've got support right now just a little bit lower than where we are right now. So right now we're trading, you know, close to around 2685 on the S&P 500. We've got a level right now at 2590, which would be the near-term support. I'd want to see the market hold there. If it goes below that, we've got a long way to go until we find the next major support, which is down around 2150 or 2200. That would be a 25% drop from the top. So investors need to ask themselves, am I willing to go through that decline? Can I afford to go through that decline with the money that I have?
John, would you be looking at FANG stocks right now or manufacturing and industrials? Which of the two looks more attractive?
So there's a phrase in the market, do not catch a falling knife. So right now we have the FANG stocks in falling territory. So I'd wait for a bottom to come in, at least a little bit of a pause. We might be seeing that, but I would build the list of what you want to buy. Personally, out of the FANG stocks, I like Google the most. When it comes to manufacturing and industrials, we don't think that the economy is ready for a recession yet. So there could be opportunity there. The key is, on days like today, don't be a buyer unless you're willing to let the market drop further. You want to see a little bottom in there. And right now, at this present moment, the market is trying to find a bottom at the level today. So we'll see if that actually holds. But here's the most important thing. If you have cash, I would be a cautious buyer. And I like dollar cost averaging right here, because we don't know if we're going to hold this near-term support of 2590. If you have a short time horizon, and you have money in the market, you should be working out. And when I say short time horizon, that's 5 years or less. Money that's 5 years or less does not belong in this kind of a market where we are in overvalued territory. That money should be pulled out. If you're overinvested right now, how do you pull out? That's always the question. So if we get some up days, it's not a bad time to take some more money off the table. And certainly if we break that 2590, I would raise some more cash, again, if you have too much money exposed to the market.
Great advice and insight. Thanks for joining us as always. John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, also registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates. Up next, how jobs will factor into the race for mayor.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The field is packed in the race for mayor of Chicago. One of the agenda items is likely to be business and jobs downtown. Joining us now on the International Auto's Orland Park business line, Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, before we talk about how it might impact the race for mayor, give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of the jobs picture downtown. How are we doing?
Well, downtown is doing terrific. The metropolitan area as a whole is a little bit slower than the rest of the nation. Not too bad, but not quite as fast. It's gained, since the recession, it's gained about almost 14%, which is pretty good. But downtown has gained twice that. It's gained 28%, 134,000 jobs, which is just remarkable if you think about it. But, you know, if you work downtown like we do, you look at the cranes, you look at the number of people. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on. There's been kind of a cyclical. What's happening here is similar to what's happening all over the country. There's been a paradigm shift where big employers want to be in central areas of big urban centers where they perceive the young talent is or wants to be. And that means that people are moving into town from out of state, from the suburbs, and organic growth. It's pretty good, but it poses a political question about, well, what about the rest of the city?
Yeah, the rest of the city and how to keep that going, right? It's not like they have a negative job situation downtown to run against. They're going to have to say, how do we keep this going downtown and also spread it around?
Well, one of the arguments that some of the candidates for city office make is that, oh, downtown is doing well because all the investment has been done downtown. If you quit investing downtown, invest out in the neighborhoods would pick up those jobs. I have problems with that. I don't think it's true. Yes, there was a lot of investment in downtown, particularly in the old TIF program, but under this mayor, under Mayor Emanuel, that's kind of changed. The only big investments in recent years has been CTA stations, and, you know, everybody uses CTA. But clearly, there's the perception that certain parts of the city, particularly minority sections of the city, are not doing as well as they should. There was a metropolitan planning council study about a year ago that suggested that while African Americans are gaining jobs, they're not gaining jobs as fast as people in other groups. Those are problems. They have to be dealt with, but at least you have the growth. You can try to move a little bit or anchor off of whatever. If you didn't have that growth, we'd be in a little trouble, though.
So how are the candidates for mayor in Chicago using this information?
Well, I don't know. That's a really good question. I think one of the key issues of this cycle is how you leverage off of downtown growth and how you spread the wealth into more adjoining areas without killing the golden goose. Because there's a real danger we could kill the golden goose. There's all kinds of proposals to add a head tax, add an income tax, increase real estate fees, whatever. You know, you go too far, and those employers who are coming here will say, well, we'll go to Dallas or go to Atlanta or whatever. So the idea is to simultaneously keep that going and spread it a little bit further. I think that's one of the absolute critical issues in this cycle.
Do they have to be able to say, yeah, there's the issue in some of the other neighborhoods, but do they have to also be able to say, I am the one best poised to continue building those relationships that bring those jobs here, the good sort of upper income jobs?
You know, I would hope that anybody would want to do that. I don't see a downside to having a lot of good paying jobs in the central area. I don't see how that hurts anybody. It gives us a tax base. It gives us the assets which we can tap to serve other parts of the city that aren't doing as well. Those are all kind of important things, but there's a danger it's going to be lost in the political crush that, you know, Emanuel was in many ways was very easy to typecast. All he cared about was big business guys in downtown, whatever. We're going to do something different. Well, don't do it too different. Add to it. Don't subtract from it, I guess I'm saying.
Okay, Greg, nice to have you on the program again. As usual, Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday when we talk about navigating airports with children in tow. And still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. And helping us out this afternoon is Pat Morrow, president of Patrick Morrow Investment Advisor, Inc. in Oak Brook, Illinois. And welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Pat. Now, you specialize in ETFs, is that correct?
Well, actually, we specialize in individual stocks domestically, but we are looking for an easy way to invest internationally, and the ETF that we like is the best way to do that.
Let's talk strategies on a day like today when we've seen the NASDAQ down almost 200 points. What do you do when you see the markets behave this way?
Well, as you know, since February, we've seen the volatility spike, and it really hasn't settled down. So this drill we've been through now for several months, we continue to do our business in the same way. We really concentrate on the long run, and as a result, we've been able to outperform in the long run for our customers.
Well, let's find out about your stock picks today. One of them, at least, is an ETF.
Yes, IXUS, which is an iShare Total International Stock ETF. The reason we like it is it is difficult for individual investors to find foreign stocks to own. So to cheaply get and easily get foreign exposure at only 11 basis points management fee, we like this particular fund. It has over 3,000 holdings. It's about $11 billion in assets. What we find particularly interesting is that it's yielding about 3%, where the S&P 500, the domestic, which is the largest 500 companies in America, is yielding only 1.8%. This has been going on since 2008, and we think we're going to see a trend reversal over the next 10 years, where kind of a return to the mean concept.
Okay, so what's your second pick today?
Second pick is a longtime favorite of ours. It's called Watsco. Its symbol is WSO. It's out of Coconut Grove, Florida, suburb of Miami. It operates in North America and the Caribbean, specializes in selling and distributing air conditioners and heating systems to contractors, no retail customers. And most of its business, about 70%, is replacement. It's extremely steady business, and the company is very shareholder friendly. It pays a large dividend and grows a dividend every year. And we think this is the best way to get conservative growth at a reasonable price.
Pat Morrow, our very first Monday Stock Picker. Always good to have you back on the show. Pat is president of Patrick Morrow Investment Advisors in Oak Brook. We'll get a check of the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of the markets at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, no improvement here. The Dow down 443 points, or 1.75%. We're at 24,973. NASDAQ down almost 3%. The composite tumbling 200 points. S&P lower by 45. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg sinking 1.5%. So stocks are in the red as Apple and Facebook shares take a hit over concerns that there will be more regulation for tech companies, and as Apple deals with another report of sinking iPhone demand. It doesn't help that Vice President Mike Pence and Chinese President Xi Jinping squared off over the weekend, exchanging barbs on trade. Universal Music gets a big prize. It signed Taylor Swift to a multi-year recording contract. Universal is now Swift's exclusive worldwide partner, and Universal's Republic Records will be her U.S. 8 label. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.